Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Now, before we get into part two of today's episode, let's do a quick recap of part one. Lars Mittank was a 28-year-old engineer from Germany. By all accounts, he was intelligent, responsible, close with his family, and living a stable life. He had a job he loved, a girlfriend, good friends, and no known history of mental illness or unusual behavior. In June of 2014, Lars joined friends on a vacation to Golden Sands, Bulgaria, a popular beach resort along the Black Sea known for its nightlife, resorts, and summer tourism. And for most of the trip, everything seemed completely normal. Then, a few days before the group was scheduled to fly home, Lars was involved in a disagreement with several men while out watching a World Cup soccer match. Later that night, after separating from his friends, Lars claimed he was attacked by four men connected to that confrontation. The next day, he complained of ear pain that continued to get worse. When it came time to fly home, doctors discovered Lars had suffered a ruptured eardrum and advised him not to travel by air. So while his friends returned to Germany, Lars stayed behind alone in Bulgaria. Now, at first, it seemed like a minor setback. He had travel insurance, enough money, and a plan to return home once he was cleared to fly. But that night, something changed. During a series of increasingly alarming phone calls with his mother, Sandra, Lars became convinced that people were following him. He believed someone had copied his credit cards. He claimed men were watching him. He sounded frightened, paranoid, and desperate to leave. Security cameras later captured him pacing through the halls of his hotel, repeatedly looking out the window and appearing on edge throughout the night. The following morning, Lars arrived at Varna Airport, hoping to finally return home. But after meeting with the airport doctor, he suddenly panicked. According to witnesses, Lars shouted, "I don't want to die here. I have to get out of here." And then he ran. He left behind his luggage, his phone, all of his belongings. Airport surveillance cameras captured him sprinting out of the terminal, climbing over a fence, crossing a field, and disappearing toward the countryside beyond the airport. And that was the last confirmed sighting of Lars Mittank. In the days, months, and years that followed, authorities launched extensive searches. Police, volunteers, private investigators, dogs, drones, and aircraft searched the surrounding area again and again. Nothing was found. No body, no belongings, no confirmed sightings, no answers. And now more than a decade later, Lars remains missing. And his disappearance has become one of the most famous unsolved missing person cases in the world. So what happened after Lars ran from the airport? Was he suffering from a head injury? A psychotic crisis? A rare reaction to medication? Or was someone really following him? Today, we're diving into the theories, the unanswered questions, and the mystery that still surrounds Lars Mittank.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
More than a decade after Lars disappeared, we're still left standing in exactly the same place investigators were in July of 2014. We know where Lars was. We know where he ran. We know what he looked like in his final moments. And yet, somehow, we still don't know what happened to him. And because of that, there is no shortage of theories. Now, over the years, investigators, journalists, psychologists, online sleuths, and ordinary people have all tried to solve the mystery. Some theories are more convincing than others. Some are rooted in evidence. Others require a little more speculation. But when you look at the case as a whole, there are a handful of possibilities that come up again and again. Now, the first theory is one that I personally find among the least convincing. The idea that Lars simply chose to disappear. Now, according to this theory, Lars used the chaos surrounding his injury and missed flight as an opportunity to start over somewhere else and leave his old life behind. Now, at first glance, it sounds plausible. After all, people do voluntarily disappear. It happens. But the deeper you look into Lars' life, the less sense this theory makes. Lars wasn't estranged from his family. He wasn't going through a divorce. He wasn't buried in debt. He wasn't isolated. In fact, the opposite appears to be true. He had a steady job he enjoyed, a girlfriend, close friends. He had a loving relationship with his parents and spoke regularly with his mother. Even during the final days of his trip, he was constantly calling and texting Sandra. Those aren't the actions of someone quietly planning to vanish forever. If he was planning a disappearance, it was an incredibly strange way to go about it. So, to me, this theory just doesn't fit the facts. Now, the next possibility is perhaps the simplest and most tragic. That Lars died shortly after entering the countryside surrounding Varna Airport. The conditions in Bulgaria in July can be surprisingly harsh. Temperatures frequently climb into the 80s and 90s. The sun is relentless. Dehydration can happen quickly. And if someone is confused, injured, frightened, or hiding, it's entirely possible they could become lost. The area around Varna Airport is larger and more rugged than most people realize. Dense forest gives way to fields, ravines, caves, abandoned structures, and old military bunkers left behind from previous eras. In some places, thick vegetation can make searches surprisingly difficult. If Lars wandered deeper into the landscape while disoriented, exposure could theoretically explain his disappearance. But here's the problem. Searchers have spent years looking. The area has been searched by police, volunteers, private investigators, dogs, drones, and aircraft. If Lars died near the airport shortly after disappearing, why hasn't anyone found him? Why haven't any remains been located? Why hasn't there been a single confirmed trace? The longer the case remains unsolved, the harder this theory becomes to fully accept. Now, another theory suggests that Lars somehow became involved in criminal activity. And depending on where you look online, this theory takes many forms. Some speculate about drug trafficking. Others speculate about organized crime. Some suggest he witnessed something he shouldn't have seen. In these versions of events, Lars either became entangled with dangerous people or crossed paths with someone involved in criminal activity. The theory attempts to explain why he vanished so completely. But there is very little evidence supporting it. Friends and family consistently describe Lars as someone who avoided drugs and lived a relatively healthy lifestyle. Investigators uncovered no evidence suggesting criminal involvement before the trip. Nothing in his background points toward a secret life that authorities somehow missed. So, could it have happened? Well, sure, anything is possible. But possible and probable are not the same thing. Then there's the theory that Lars was genuinely being pursued by someone. And honestly, this theory is one of the reasons this case continues to fascinate people. Because what if Lars wasn't imagining it? What if the danger he described was real? Now, during his final phone calls, Lars repeatedly told his mother that people were following him. He believed he was being watched. He believed men were searching for him. He believed someone intended to harm him. Now, many people point back to the confrontation at the bar and the alleged assault that occurred afterward. What if those men really were looking for him? What if the attack wasn't random? What if Lars knew something we don't? The problem is that investigators have never found evidence proving anyone was actively pursuing him. But at the same time, investigators have never been able to completely rule it out either. Some people point to another disturbing possibility, human trafficking. Bulgaria has historically struggled with human trafficking and organized criminal networks. Victims have been exploited for forced labor, prostitution, and other criminal enterprises. It's a frightening reality, and one that naturally enters the conversation whenever someone disappears without a trace. But if we're being objective, there is little evidence that Lars became a victim of human trafficking. Most trafficking victims are targeted under very specific circumstances, and Lars does not fit neatly into those patterns. Still, because his disappearance is so complete, the theory continues to surface. Now, perhaps the most discussed theory involves Lars's mental state. Specifically, whether something biological happened inside his brain during those final days. Now, the first possibility involves the antibiotic he was prescribed after visiting the hospital, cefprozil. It's a theory that Sandra herself has explored extensively. And we know Lars was prescribed the medication. And we know there are indicators he may have taken several tablets. And we know that some antibiotics, while generally safe, have occasionally been associated with rare neurological side effects, restlessness, agitation, confusion, and in extremely rare cases, psychosis. Medical literature has documented instances in which antibiotics appear to trigger hallucinations, paranoia, or acute psychiatric symptoms in certain individuals. Now, these reactions are uncommon, very uncommon, but they do happen. Now, imagine that possibility combined with several other factors. Lars had recently been assaulted. He may have suffered a concussion. He was under stress. He was alone in a foreign country. He wasn't sleeping normally. He had been drinking alcohol during the trip. Now, could all of those factors have combined into a perfect storm? Well, it is certainly possible. And honestly, when I listen to the timeline of events, this theory is difficult to ignore. His behavior changed rapidly. The paranoia escalated quickly. The fear appeared genuine. And something clearly happened. The question is what? Now, a related theory involves the assault itself, specifically the possibility that Lars suffered a concussion or brain injury that went undiagnosed. Head injuries can produce symptoms that are genuinely terrifying. Confusion, memory problems, paranoia, delusions, personality changes. Some experts have even suggested that a blood clot or other neurological complication could have developed after the attack. One possibility is retrograde amnesia. Now, if Lars survived whatever happened after leaving the airport, but then lost his memory, he could theoretically still be alive without knowing who he is. Now, I realize that sounds like something from a movie, but stranger things have happened. And because Lars has never been found, the possibility remains impossible to completely dismiss. Then there's what many psychologists consider the most straightforward explanation, a sudden psychotic break. Lars was 28 years old when he disappeared. Coincidentally, that falls within the age range when serious psychotic illnesses sometimes emerge for the first time. Conditions such as schizophrenia often appear during a person's 20s or early 30s. And in some cases, the onset can seem shockingly sudden. The paranoia, the belief that people were following him, the conviction that someone wanted to kill him, the frantic behavior inside the hotel, the pacing, the hiding, the whispering, the desperate flight from the airport. All of those behaviors could potentially fit within a psychiatric crisis. Even Lars' mother has acknowledged that his mental state seemed very different in the final days before he vanished. She has suggested that the assault may have triggered something psychologically. Now, at the same time, she has repeatedly emphasized that Lars has no known history of mental illness before the trip. And that creates another problem. Even if Lars experienced a psychotic episode, it doesn't explain everything. It doesn't explain why he was never found. It doesn't explain how someone can disappear so completely. And it certainly doesn't explain what happened after he ran into the countryside. Because regardless of why Lars ran, we still have to answer what happened next. And that's where every theory begins to struggle. Now, personally, after looking at this case, I think the most likely explanation is that multiple factors were happening at the same time. The assault, the ear injury, the stress of being stranded alone, possible medication effects, possible sleep deprivation, perhaps even an underlying psychiatric condition that never surfaced before. Maybe no single event caused Lars to run. Maybe it was all of them together. But even if that explains why he fled the airport, again, it still leaves us with the biggest mystery of all. Where did he go? His mother still believes he could be alive. More than 10 years later, she continues searching. She continues speaking publicly. She continues maintaining resources dedicated to finding him. Because until Lars is found, every theory remains exactly what it is. A theory. And the truth is still out there somewhere, waiting to be discovered.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And whenever I cover a case that takes place overseas, I always find myself asking the same question. Was the destination actually dangerous? Or did something unusual happen to one person in a place that is generally safe? Because after spending weeks researching Lars's disappearance, it's easy to walk away with the impression that Bulgaria is some lawless type of place where tourists disappear all the time. But that's not really the reality. In fact, if you look at modern travel advisories and crime data, Bulgaria is generally considered one of the safer destinations in Europe for tourists. Recent U.S. travel guidance has classified Bulgaria at the lowest advisory level, meaning travelers are advised to exercise normal precautions, the same advice given for many popular European destinations. And that doesn't mean crime doesn't exist. It absolutely does, in every corner of the world. But for most visitors, the biggest risks aren't violent attacks or mysterious disappearances. They're the same risks you'd encounter at almost any tourist destination around the world. Pickpocketing, credit card fraud, ATM skimming, tourist scams, overcharging in bars and nightclubs. Those are the types of crimes most commonly reported by visitors. In tourist areas along the Black Sea coast, including resort destinations like Golden Sands, have long had reputations for occasional nightclub scams and inflated bills targeting visitors. And honestly, if you've ever traveled internationally, none of that will sound particularly surprising. Where Bulgaria gets more complicated is when you start looking beyond the average tourist experience. The country has struggled with organized crime and corruption for decades, particularly during the years following the collapse of communism. Human trafficking, smuggling networks, financial crime, and organized criminal groups have all been documented issues. Varna, the city closest to Golden Sands and the airport where Lars disappeared, has historically been associated with organized crime activity. Now, before anyone cancels a trip to Bulgaria, let's put that into perspective. Most tourists will never encounter organized crime. The average visitor spending a week on the beach is far more likely to deal with a pickpocket than a criminal syndicate. But when discussing Lars's case, I think it's important to acknowledge why some people continue to wonder whether he crossed paths with the wrong people. Because the truth is, organized crime does exist in Bulgaria, just as it exists in Italy, France, Spain, the United States, and pretty much every other country. The question isn't whether organized crime exists. The question is whether it had anything to do with Lars. And after all these years, investigators still have no evidence proving that it did. And personally, I think that's an important distinction. Sometimes when a case remains unsolved, our brains naturally want to create a dramatic explanation, a conspiracy, a criminal organization, a secret plot. But the reality is that most mysteries are eventually solved through ordinary explanations rather than extraordinary ones. Still, there are a few lessons travelers can take away from Lars's story. The first one is surprisingly simple. Don't isolate yourself when you're injured or vulnerable. One of the biggest turning points in Lars's case happened when he became separated from his friends. Now, I'm not blaming Lars or his friends. Nobody could have predicted what would happen. But whenever I'm traveling internationally, especially somewhere unfamiliar, I try to remember that being alone changes everything. A minor injury becomes a bigger problem. A misunderstanding becomes harder to navigate. A stressful situation becomes more overwhelming. Having someone with you can make an enormous difference. The second lesson is to take head injuries seriously. Now, this one really stands out to me in Lars's story. He was assaulted. He suffered a ruptured eardrum. And it's entirely possible that he suffered a concussion or other injury that wasn't immediately recognized. Far too many people shrug off head injuries and assume they'll be fine. But confusion, memory problems, paranoia, anxiety, and impaired judgment can sometimes develop hours or even days after an injury. Now, if you're traveling and you suffer any kind of head trauma, get checked out and don't ignore symptoms. Now, the third lesson is to trust your instincts, but verify your fears. Now, Lars genuinely believed people were following him. Whether they actually were remains unknown. But if you ever feel unsafe while traveling, don't isolate yourself. Move toward people. Move toward public spaces. Contact authorities. Contact family. Contact your embassy if necessary. The goal is to increase your support network, not decrease it. And perhaps that's one of the saddest parts of Lars' story. As his fear increased, he became more and more alone. Now, by the end, he was stranded in a foreign country, separated from his friends, exhausted, injured, frightened, and relying primarily on phone calls with his mother hundreds of miles away. That's a difficult situation for anyone. Now, the final lesson is one I think applies to every traveler, no matter where they're going. Have a plan before things go wrong. Know where your passport is. Know how you'll contact family. Know where the nearest hospital is. Keep emergency numbers accessible. Carry travel insurance. Have backup transportation options. Ironically, Lars actually did many of those things. He kept in contact with his mother. He had travel insurance. He had transportation options. He was sent money. And that just shows that you never know what can happen. Now today, millions of tourists continue to visit Bulgaria every year. Most return home with stories about beautiful beaches, ancient history, affordable vacations, and friendly people. For the overwhelming majority of visitors, Bulgaria is not a dangerous destination. But somewhere outside Varna Airport, beyond the resorts and beach bars and crowded tourist streets, Lars Matenc disappeared.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
As always, when we cover cases like this, it's important to remember that Lars isn't just an internet mystery or a viral YouTube video. He is a real person. Someone loves him. Someone raised him. someone spent birthdays and holidays with him. And somewhere tonight, his mother is still living with questions that have gone unanswered for more than a decade. Lars was 28 years old when he disappeared. He is approximately 5'11" and weighed around 187 pounds. He has dark blonde hair and brown eyes. He was last seen wearing a yellow shirt, jean shorts, and white sneakers. He also has a scar on his left forearm. If Lars is still alive, it's possible he could be injured, disoriented, or living without knowing who he is. If you have any information about Lars Matank's disappearance, no matter how small it may seem, please contact findet_lars@web.de. And if this story moved you, please share this episode. The right person hearing the right detail at the right time has solved cases before. For Lars and for the people who love him. Maybe that person is listening right now. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.